Well, let's look at the pit, but don't get very close. So be on guard against falling into the pit of self-pity. Self-pity. Woe is me. How come it always happens to me? What? Again, everybody else is doing fine. I'm just having problems. Why me? There's a clue in all those words that we're really focusing on self. When you are weary or unwell, this demonic trap is the greatest danger you face. Do not venture near the edge of the pit. Its edges crumble easily. It draws you in. Before you know it, you're on the way down. And it is much harder to get out of that pit than it is to keep a safe distance from it. That is why I say you must be on guard. There are several ways to guard against self-pity. So let me ask you to not just wait till you feel like you're somehow being pressed toward that pit. Instead, let me ask you to be daily, regularly involved in these things. First is this: occupy your mind with praising and thanking God. You cannot do this and despair. If you are occupying your mind with praising and thanking God, Psalm 89, 15 and 16, blessed, you could even say happy, is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. You see, it's not in the stuff happening to you that we rejoice in, though sometimes that's rejoiceable. But it's in him, see. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. In thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And so God being who he is, we can rejoice in that. And you remember Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so praising and thanking God builds a trust because we see how good he is. A second way to guard against self-pity is to obey his command of love. When you do that, you will focus on God and others, not on self. You remember John 13:34, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So it is not just your idea of love, but his idea, his example of love, of self-giving. And then John 15:12-17, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. These things I command you, that you love one another. James calls this the royal law, the law of the king. So, as you feel pressed into self-pity, correct yourself and say, but it is not about me. It, life, the whole situation, is about God and others. And it's just a relief. It's a release. I'm interpreting this wrong. It's not about me. This is just a hill to climb. This is just, well, for me, steps to climb, you know, tough stuff. Third thing is this: focus on the life and person of Jesus. There's so much there. 2 Corinthians 3:18, great challenge to us. But we all, with open face, beholding. This is looking. This is not quite staring, but focusing as in a glass, you behold what? The glory of the Lord. The word Lord usually referring to Jesus Christ. And he says when we are doing this, we are changed into the same image. This is how we become holy, how we become Christ-like, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit takes us beholding the glory of Christ and changes us into that image. Then you don't fall into the pit. You'll be able to run with endurance the race that is set before you without stumbling, without falling. I take that from Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, we often think of these witnesses as people that are watching us, witnessing what we do. But the concept here is actually that we have a witness in those who have gone before. And the standard of those who have gone before is all about us. We are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses of how we should be, how they were, how we should be. So then, let us lay aside every weight, that pressure, that weighing down, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Sometimes that sin is just worry. For he told us, don't be careful for nothing, he said. Be worried, be anxiety ridden over nothing. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. This is, the lifetime race. This is the marathon race, not a sprint. This isn't push once and you can get it done. It's just keep going. Looking unto Jesus, the author, word meaning beginning or author, one who began something, and finisher, beginner and finisher of our faith. And here's the example we're looking unto him for. For who for the joy that was set before him, your salvation, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, meaning he has gained the throne because he was willing to suffer. And that's the story for us over and over again. Focus on Jesus. I want you just to imagine his condescension, being God Almighty, sitting, as it were, upon the throne of the universe, even before there was a universe, and then coming to this earth as a poor child. How easily could Jesus have felt sorry for himself as he faced the cross, having done no wrong? Right? I don't deserve this, he could say. They're picking on me, and all I did was good. He could have been filled with self-pity, but he was not. He was looking for conquering the joy that was set before him. Bring up comments, questions?